And according to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, for human survival, we need air, food, drink, shelter, clothing, warmth, sex, and sleep. So how did that checklist go for you? Bear in mind, it was written by a man in 1943. When it comes to shelter, we're in the age of FOMO and FOOP, fear of missing out and fear of overpaying. And for those looking to buy, only a few months ago it was a fear of missing out, and now we're told we're in the grip of fear of overpaying. And if you're looking to rent, as I was talking to Brian earlier, you're in a perpetual state of FOMO in case you don't fit the bill. Well, today the headlines screamed, house sale volumes tumble 35.2%. So are we all meant to run screaming for the hills, or is it a time for cool heads? We thought we might ask independent economist Tony Alexander. Kia ora, good evening, Tony.
Yes, good evening there, Karen.
We've heard it all before, Tony, but let's confirm it. The market is cooling and property values are going down. That seems to be the general consensus. Is that right?
Yep, that's basically what's been happening. It's something I've been warning about from over a year ago, saying we'd entered the end game for the boom in house prices, whether you were talking about the pandemic period or after the global financial crisis or since 1992. The things were stacking up to start things turning around, and then it was simply a matter of when exactly would that start, and it pretty much got underway in the second half of last year.
The Real Estate Institute of New Zealand data tells us that sales have lightened in the past year, but are listings down, or are people holding onto their asset rather than selling?
Yeah, well, the thing is, with far fewer sales, if we go to the year to June last year, there were 100,000 dwellings sold around the country. Now we're down to about 79,000. So fewer of the properties are being sold. They're sitting on the market longer. There's not really a big wave of extra sellers coming through, pressured to sell their house. But the outcome of it all is that the number of properties listed for sale is up about 70% from April last year. So definitely a lot more for the buyers out there to choose amongst.
Well, you know a fair bit about FOMO and FOOP, the fear of missing out and the fear of overpaying, because you do a monthly survey, I believe, of real estate agents around the country, and you have the latest feedback from them when they're talking to people coming through houses and people who are selling. So where are we at? We're at majorly in the throes of fear of overpaying?
Yeah, things have sort of certainly changed. I've been running a survey for 2 years now. Each month I ask about 450 or get replies from about 450 real estate agents on a whole range of things. And even right in the first survey, the pandemic, April of 2020, 35% of agents back then were saying they could see FOMO. People were worried that if they didn't buy, the prices would rise higher. That went through the roof to about 90% late in 2020-21. Even in October, it was still 70% of agents seeing that. Now, it's almost zero. Only 6% of agents say they can see FOMO, that fear of missing out and prices running away on you. On the other hand, if you go back again, October last year, only 19% of the agents were saying buyers were worried that if they'd buy and then prices would fall, fear of overpaying. Now it's 65% say that they can see that worry out there. So things have definitely turned around on the direction of price fear, as it were.
Well, there's a lot of psychology that goes into buying and selling anything, but particularly with an asset as big as a house, and it's at every level and every circumstance is different. So what's your advice to people who are confused? They might be worried, they're wondering what to do.
Yeah, you've got to sort of step back from all of these numbers. Every week there's a different time series coming out. Pick a time series and stick with it. I only look at the REINZ numbers, their house price indexes, for instance, to get a guide to where prices are going. My starting point for somebody looking at where prices are going would be just recognise that not a single soul expected prices to rise 41% once we learned about COVID-19. We all expected prices would fall 10%. So no one has a great record on predicting house prices. And a lot of what is happening at the moment is simply a retreat towards reality. There was no great economic justification for prices reaching those high levels late last year. If I was in the market looking to make a purchase and I was seeing prices edge down, I would keep looking. But I would go back to the original list I probably wrote down on a bit of paper 6, 12, 18 months ago of everything I wanted in a property, and I'd have a look at all the things I've crossed off over the past 18 months. I would uncross every single one of them. And I would now go back with the listings going through the roof and look for the property that met my requirements. And I actually wouldn't focus all that much on price. Would not be my prime consideration.
Well, that's wonderful for the buyers now, but what about people who bought in that time? And, you know, human nature says, you know, it's human nature to think you've either won or lost in the housing market if you're in it. You're lucky enough to be in it. And that can affect people for a very long time.
Yeah, well, certainly, I mean, we never like to buy something and then find we could have got it cheaper. It always sort of digs into our psyche that we're 2 to 4 times more sensitive to the perceived loss of a thing than the gain of the same thing. And I know a lot of people say, oh, surely the most affected group out there is first home buyers that, you know, scraped a deposit together, took out a big mortgage late last year, and they bought at the top of the cycle. Well, these are not people who are likely to be selling again in the next 1, 2, 3, maybe even 5 years. They bought for the long term, and over the long term, prices rise. My feeling on the group most negatively affected would be those who have made a purchase, were lucky enough to make a purchase, and then have held off selling their property. And now they're looking to sell it. They will realise a bit of a capital loss in there. And my second biggest concern, I suppose, would be about the property developers who a lot of inexperienced, undercapitalised people have sort of started developing properties. Now they're going to have a few difficulties finding buyers and maybe getting some money out of the banks as well.
Yeah, so if you buy now, you may buy at a lower price, but you've got these rising interest rates, obviously. Will that mean you'll still be paying about the same amount if you purchased in, let's say, October at a higher buy now price, but with a lower interest rate? Does it work out like that?
Not quite. You'd need some astonishing change in house prices to get that. If you go back about over a year ago, most people were fixing their interest rate 1 year at about 2.19%. That rate is now over 2% higher, so let's say about double from what it was back then. But, of course, house prices haven't halved. So if anyone's quick on the maths, they'll realise what I'm getting at there. No, overall, the cash outflows people will be paying are definitely going up. But let me just sort of make a comment on the interest rates. That I've got 5 monthly surveys, and another one I do of people's spending plans shows that consumers like you and I, Karen, we have definitely aggressively pulled back on our intentions to buy stuff generally over the next 3 to 6 months. That will be good news to the Reserve Bank. They've increased interest rates to try and get that to happen. They can see that happening. And that says to me that maybe there's only about another 1% left upside for 1 year fixed mortgage rates. Maybe it's 0.5% for the other fixed mortgage rates. So most of the interest rate pain is sort of already out there in the published numbers.
All right, we can't afford to buy stuff.
Well, that's right. People have cut back on spending on a lot of things, not just because interest rates have gone up, but, of course, the cost of living has gone through the roof all very, very quickly. And in a way, that's like a tightening of monetary policy. It's encouraging people to pull back on their spending. So, you know, that like I say, just leads me to say people shouldn't expect interest rates are going to go through the roof. We're not going back to the 18.5% I paid in my first mortgage back in 1987.
Did you?
Yeah, exactly. Back in the bad old days. But of course, the house only cost $82,000 for the little thing I got back then. So there was a little trade-off, shall we say.
But you wore it okay. How long did that last for, those interest rates at that level?
Oh, let's see, up until about 1992, when inflation dropped from averaging about 11% and then averaged 2% ever since. And then, yeah, the mortgage rates dropped away very strongly over about 1991-92. I think after about a year and a half, I reset at 15.5%. I couldn't believe my luck. I think I went and bought an extra frying pan with the extra money freed up.
Have you still got the frying pan?
No, not when they say non-stick, they lie.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, especially if you use a really hard scourer. It's all over.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that.
You got to be careful. Well, thank you very much. You've cheered us all up, Tony, or some of us not, but thank you. Thanks for talking to us.
Yep, cheers, Karen. All the best.
That's independent economist Tony Alexander.